So one more thing, one more thing. I want to talk to you guys really quick. I want to ask you a question. It kind of goes along with what we've been doing tonight. And we do this after every service at The Rock. We do this after every service. And you're like, man, why did they always do this? And we do it because it's valuable. We do it because we've learned and we've grown to see the importance of it. We do it because there has been an investment now that we can see that pays off. And it's something that God calls us to do. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about that we make sure to give everybody an opportunity who comes into service to get connected with God, to know Jesus on a personal level. Not just coming along, he's talking to these people who are already currently fishermen. So you speak in their language, you say, hey, look, follow me and I will make you a different kind of fisherman. I will make you a fisher of men. And if you've been here to the past messages, you've heard Pastor Joe started off and it was amazing. It was just really, really good. Then Beth came the next week and she kind of broke down some more of what that meant, what it meant to be called by God. Pastor Luke was here last week, which was a privilege to have Pastor Luke here. And he shared a little bit on some of the different things of just continuing the series of what it is to be a fisher of men. You have to be prepared. And he went over some important points for us. So tonight I was praying. I was like, man, God, what do you want to talk about tonight? And I feel like being fishers of men, you know, Pastor Joe, he's given testimonies. We've already heard a lot of testimonies from you guys of, you know, stepping out, inviting someone to church, talking about Jesus to somebody, you know, people getting saved. And it's really cool. It's really awesome. But I think everybody would agree. I mean, almost everybody. You might have a personality type where it's like, it totally just fits and you don't mind. But most people are not super comfortable inviting people to church, are not super comfortable talking to people about Jesus. It's just not something that you probably do that often. So it's kind of awkward sometimes. It's kind of hard. It's kind of like, oh, this is like, oh, this, you know, that feeling. It's not really words. It's just like, oh, I know I should. Oh. Okay, you try to psych yourself out. Okay, like, okay, if they walk across one more time, I'm going to do it. You know, like, then they walk across, you're like, shoot. You're like, man, like, I was really about to do it. You know, like, it can be so hard. It can be so difficult. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to look at a couple practical things out of the Bible that can help us to be able to do this better. I want to start off, because we're talking about tonight, specifically about inviting people to church and talking to people about Jesus. So I want to start off tonight with a little video about inviting people to church. So check out the screens and give it your attention.
I know I ask you this like every week, but would you like to ride to church with me? Oh, come on, Mrs. Edwards, you like my church. We have some hot music. It may not be what you're bumping at all, but it's hot. We get down. What do you say, Mrs. Edwards?
Oh, I suppose.
I've heard it said that 80% of first-time church visitors come because someone personally invited them. All people need to feel loved and wanted, and for some people, it just takes having someone offer to give them a ride to church. We have something great going on at this church. People's lives are being transformed by God's love. Your homework this week is to find at least one person who could use a little more of that love and invite them to come with you next week. Trust me, it's worth the extra effort.
Mrs. Edwards, you want to listen to some music on the way? Go ahead, your choice.
So, It's just a funny video, but it portrays what we're trying to do, right? Like, you didn't see that you know, the beatbox thing coming, right? You're like, oh, dang, it was her music. You didn't see that coming. It's pretty good. So anyways, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I want to talk about a few things like that. And what we're going to do, we're going to start off, I got 4 points. They're going to go quick. So I want you to pay attention, have your Bible out, make some notes if you have a pen and paper. And number one, first thing tonight that we're going to talk about is know that you've been sent. Know that you've been sent. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. I'm going to go ahead and start at 18. So Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to start at verse number 18. Here's what it says. It says, "And then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" How many people have heard that verse before? If you've heard that before, like, pop your hand up, right? Like, that's one of those verses. You might have heard that verse before. In your Bible, look up towards the top, like, to the heading that's above that. What does your Bible say? What's the little heading above that? What does it say? The Great Commission, right? So this right here, this is called the Great Commission. So basically what we can see right here is that this is actually, if in my Bible right here, actually this is Antonio's Bible. Thank you, Antonio, for letting me borrow it. But in this Bible, and maybe in your Bible, what color are the letters? I'm just curious. Red. If you got a real Bible, they're red. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay, Philip. The letters are red. And what does that mean? It means it was Jesus talking, right? So here we got Jesus talking to us, telling us something. And it has this heading of the Great Commission. This is the great big thing that God's like, hey, I've given you other commandments, but this thing got a heading of called the Great Commission. This is me telling you what to do. I'm sending you out. So I want you to notice a few things, and I'll read verse number 19 one more time. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." What is he saying? I'm calling you to go out, right? Like, go to all the nations. I am sending you. I'm sending you out to go do this thing, to reach people, to tell people about me. I'm sending you out. So that's number one. The point is that you have been sent out. This is a commandment from God. This is God issuing something specifically, words from his mouth to you and to me. And I want to point out a couple of things, right? So this thing, it's called the commission, the Great Commission. So a commission is basically like orders or like instructions. When you've been commissioned to do something, you know, okay, here's my orders. Here's what it is that I'm supposed to do. Now I know what to do. Now I need to go do it, right? It's pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward. Here it is. It's a commission. But if you break the word up, or if you say it a little bit different, you could say that you could call it a co-mission. So I think one thing that's important to recognize as we are realizing, as we're now in part four of this series, that this is our job, this is something we are supposed to do as Christians, that you aren't supposed to and you don't have to, and you're not going out on your own. It's called a co-mission. You don't do this by yourself. You have the Holy Spirit with you, right? So Jesus, he says, look, it's better that I leave so that I can send the Holy Spirit. He's like, way better. And he can be with each and every one of you individually. You don't have to do this by yourself. So knowing that we're sent is really, really important. Knowing that you're sent and that you don't have to do this on your own can actually be really valuable to yourself to know, you know what? I'm not by myself. I don't have to have it all figured out. I have the Holy Spirit with me. He'll be there with me. He's on this mission with me to fulfill what it is that Jesus asked us to do. Now, if you look at verse number 18 one more time, it says, how does it start? He says, when Jesus starts talking, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So here's Jesus saying, basically kind of putting a title in front of himself like, hey, look, I'm Jesus, the guy who has all authority on heaven and on earth. That's me. I'm that guy, the really one who has the power. We have authority behind us. So like think of it like this. If you were at your job, and let's say that you worked at, let's say you worked at FedEx or something, right? So you're a new hire. You know, like, look, man, I just move boxes around. That's all I do. They say, move this box to there. That's what I do. It's cool. I'm new. And, you know, I got it. I like it. It's a good job. And then if you have somebody else, you have like a coworker come up to you, and they do the same thing as you, right? And they come up to you like, hey, man, I need you to move all these boxes and actually go put them in that car. And then when you're done with that, move this over there and, you know, maybe open that up or don't send those. We don't need it. And he just starts giving you orders, start telling you what to do. You look at that person like, are you serious, bro? I ain't doing what you say. You're like, I'm going to do what the boss says. Like, sorry. Like, I'm glad. Thanks for giving me your input, but I'm not going to do any of this until somebody who actually has the authority to tell me what to do tells me to do it. Then I'll do it. Then the boss comes in. Hey, I need you to do this. Okay, cool. Now I'll do it. So realizing that we have been sent out, that is a command from God. God's sending us out. Realizing that we're not doing it by ourselves. We got the Holy Spirit with us. He's with you. He's with me. He's not doing this by yourself. And knowing that the person who has the authority to send you, he's the one who sent you. So it's not like you just have to guess and like hope that maybe like, I'm going to just kind of try this and we'll see if, you know, I don't know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I don't know. I'm just doing it because they said to do it. Know that you and I, we are commissioned. We have been commissioned by Jesus Christ himself to go out, to tell people, to not be ashamed, right? And we can do that with the power and the authority and the backing. You know how it is, like, when you walk into somebody's house for the first time, you're, like, kind of apprehensive, you know, like, oh, cool, like, can I walk over here? You know, like, can I sit down right there? You know, like, you're waiting for somebody to tell you what to do, you know, because you've never been there before, you don't know what you should or should not do. And then you walk into your own house or you walk into your parents' house and you just walk straight in. You don't even say hi to your parents. You walk right past them, go to the refrigerator or, you know, I've done that. You know, I've walked into my house and, like, there are people over there, like, eh. Right past them. You're like, this is my house. I have the authority in here. I will come back and say hi when I want to. I got to go take care of something, or I'm thirsty or something. You know, like, when I know that I have the authority, when I know that I'm backed by power and authority, I don't have to question or wonder if I'm doing the right thing. Or if, you know, like, oh, geez, I don't know. Know that you have the Almighty God, right? The God of the universe backing you. The authority that he started this with, he's like, right, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. That guy, he's backing you. And he's on this mission that he sent you out on. He's with you to do it. You don't have to do it by yourself. So number one, know that you've been sent. Know that you've been sent. You're not doing this just because, like, oh, like that one guy said, maybe I should do this. Okay, I guess I'll do it. No, you have been sent by God. And you've been purposed by God. And you have authority from God. And you're not doing it alone. So number one, know that you have been sent. Number two, let God disrupt your routine. Right? Everybody's got a routine, right? Everybody's routine is probably a little bit different. You know, some people get up really early in the morning and they wake up and they're like, oh, it's a new day. And they grab, you know, get out of bed all happy and they go and brush their teeth with a smile and, you know, make some breakfast and do all this stuff, read a book, and then, you know, or whatever. And morning people, and they're all happy. They have their routine, and they do things the way they do. Then they have other people, like, their routine might start off with, like, you know, the your alarm clock goes off, snooze, 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 look over, oh, crap. You know, like, roll out of bed, get clothes on, and run, and you're like, oh, I gotta go, you know, and you're just running, and you're rushing, right? The point is, not that one is better than the other. Praise the Lord. I might be on the latter half. The point is that we all have a routine. You go to lunch at the same places, right? You go to you have your favorite places to eat. You have the your friends that you hang out with all the time. You have the certain TV shows that you like to watch. You all have a routine. I have a routine. You have a routine. We all have a routine. But if we don't make space or we aren't willing to let God disrupt our routine, we can't be used by God a lot of times because we're too locked into the routine, right? And if, you know, some people are real free-flowing. Other people, like, really structured and organized. Like, if I mess up my routine, though, like, that's going to mess up the whole day. It's just shot. You know, like nothing, there's no recovering when the routine's been broke. And so I get it. There's things that we have to keep in order, and there's stuff that we have to be responsible for. But we also have to make room and be willing to let the Holy Spirit interrupt us so that our routine might change a little bit so that we can be used by God to reach somebody. So grab your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let me know when you're there. And we're going to be looking at verse number 26. So let me give you a little bit of background. So Acts chapter 8, we're going to pick up verse number 26. And we're going to be looking at Philip. So in the same chapter, the beginning of this chapter, we see Philip, he's going around and he's like preaching and teaching to a whole city. He's doing like a city crusade. I mean, people getting saved by the masses. It's like this amazing thing. It's a little like harvest crusade going on. Like he's being used by God amazingly. And he's doing this big thing, right? And all these people are getting reached. And so this is Philip, and he's operating the way that God had called him and asked him to operate. And God was using him in an amazing way. But if we jump down a few verses later, after he's just finished this big thing with the city, getting a bunch of people saved, we're going to look at verse number 26. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is the desert. And so here's Philip. He's doing his thing. He's traveling. He's ministering to people. Groves of people are getting saved. It's an amazing thing. And God interrupts Philip. He says, "Hey, Philip," sends an angel, "I want you to go this other direction. I'm going to send you a different way. I know you got a plan. I know you're working your plan and you're doing this and you got that, you know, and you're trying to hit your goals for, so you can send out your newsletter at the end of the month and tell everybody how many people have been saved. I know you got your plan, but I need you to take a break here. I need you to go this different direction. I want to send you a different way." So Philip here's God showing up and he wants to interrupt. And we're going to continue. We're going to kind of follow Philip through this story, and we're going to get the rest of the points out of Philip's story. But we have to. I want you to see right here that it starts with Philip being interrupted. Philip had a choice here, right? He could say, "Okay, God, I can do that, but what it probably work best if I swing around and I kind of finish my city thing that I'm doing right here. I'll finish that over here, then I'll swing back around and go where you want me to go. Like I'll still get there. I need to finish. I have commitments over there. You know, like, I don't know. I'm supposed to have dinner with my cousin. So, I got to go that way, but I'll come back. Then I'll do it. And then I'll go where you want me to go." So he had a choice. He could be like, "No, I don't want to do that, God. That's not really going to work." He could say, "Well, God, I'll do it, but I just can't do it right now. I'll get around to it when it works better for my schedule because I have these other things going on." Or he could say, be obedient and say, "Okay, God, I hear you. You're talking to me. You're trying to get my attention. So let me go and do what you're asking me to do." And so what I want to show you today, and what God was showing me as well, is that if we were put in a position like Philip, what would you do? When God comes in your life and he wants to interrupt, what do you do? Because you might be able to think of a time or an opportunity where you're like, "Oh, I feel like I should," and then it passes and you're like, "Oh man, I didn't do it." You might be able to think of a time like that, right? So you knew God was trying to interrupt you and something happened. Right? Something happened that stopped you from being able to walk out what it is that God wanted to do. And so a couple of things real quick. Pray. I was asking God, how do we get to ourselves to a place that we are willing to do these things for people? How do we get over the barriers that stop us from sharing the gospel? And a lot of times what it is like we're scared of people. They're going to reject me. They're going to say no. They're going to look at me funny. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. And we're scared of what people might say, or we're scared of what people might do. And what happens is that fear of what people might do or what they might say grows bigger than the commission that God's already put us on. And so all of a sudden we're like, "I know I'm commissioned and I know I'm supposed to do this, but this fear, it's creeping up and it's getting bigger. And it overpowers it, and you end up becoming null and void. You end up not being able to walk out what it is that God wants you to walk out. And so one of the best ways that I've found, and I see it in the Bible, to be able to have passion for people, to be able to care for people, whether you know them or not, whether you like them or not, is to pray for them. Pray for them. You can probably think of a couple people in your life where there might be a coworker, somebody at the gym, somebody you kind of, you pass by them enough to, you know, you guys might walk by every once in a while. You've never really talked, but you walk by and you're like, what's up? You know, you just do a little head nod or, you know, like, hey, kind of. So you know that the other person's there and it's cool or whatever. You guys have never really talked. So you have people in your life like that. We have to pray for these people. Because, I don't know, at least this is what I found for myself. If I will start to pray for somebody, I mean pray for them. God, I don't know this person, but you know what? They need you, Jesus. And I ask God that you would speak to them. I ask that you would, you know, show them and that you would, you know, bless them. And they would know that you love them. And God, that you would, you know, if there's stuff going on, you know, they, you know, maybe their grandma's is not feeling well or is ill or whatever. Or they're, you know, they're having financial difficulties. God, I know they're having financial difficulties. You know, I ask God that you would bring things along that help them and encourage them and, you know, and pray for their needs. And you start to pray for these people, you're going to start to care for them. Why? Because you've began to invest in them. Yeah. And here's the thing, like, a lot of times it's easy to not do it or to let the fear overcome the mission that we're on because you have this much invested in it. And it's like, well, if they don't, they don't. I don't know. I'll probably never see them again. You know, like, somebody else, you know, like, praise the Lord. Yeah. We have nothing invested in it. And so what I found and what I want to encourage you to do today is to start praying for people. I'm not saying pray for everybody. I'm saying that God will put a few people in your heart and in your mind that you can think of that you can be praying for, that you haven't really talked to or you kind of know about them, but you know there's an opportunity there. Pray for those people. Pray for the person that you're scared to share the gospel with. Start praying for them. Start praying for the person that you think, like, dude, they're for sure going to reject it. Like, I just know, I know the personality, I know how they are about this and that. Like, there's no way. Start praying for them. As you start to pray for them, your heart will change. You'll begin to have an investment in somebody so that when it comes time where God says, all right, pour it out, do it, step it out, you're like, okay, I'm ready because you're invested in it. Like, and you want to do it. You're like, all right, God's going to do something. Okay, I'm prepared for this. I'm ready for this. I've been investing in this. So it's a very simple way that all of us, to encourage you, to help you, to break down the boundaries that stop you and me from sharing the gospel with other people, pray for somebody. Start praying for those people. And as you pray for them, your passion and your desire for them to know the Lord will grow, and it will bring you to a point of investment that you're willing to step out and share. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He said it like this. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for them, the unbelievers, that they may be saved. This is Paul, right? The Apostle Paul. And he's like, I just like the words that he says. It's my heart's desire. Like, right, you can hear that in the words. Like, this is something he deeply cares about. This isn't just like, oh, I think I'm supposed to do this, so I guess I'll do it. Or I hope they get saved, you know. Well, if I don't, maybe somebody else will. No, he's invested in this thing. He's invested. He said, it's my heart's desire that they would come to know God. He was invested in the people that he was ministering to, and I think that's part of why he was so effective in doing it. So, point number two, let God disrupt your life. So we're looking at Philip, right? God comes and he's disrupting Philip's life. Point number three, trust God's direction. Trust God's direction. So we just read Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. Now I'm going to read verse number 27. It says, So he, Philip, arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So what we see here, so God says, trust his direction. So we see here, God says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. There's going to be somebody over there. And it kind of switches chapters. It says, hey, Philip, I'm going to interrupt you. I want you to go this direction. Next verse. Now we're talking about the guy on the other end. So they don't know each other yet. They don't have no clue about each other, right? And so what do we see here in this next verse? We see that there's somebody there. There's somebody there on the other end. And God, you can trust that God is leading. When God leads you, that he has somebody there on purpose. What am I saying? It's not on accident. It's not like, man, I feel like I should talk to him. Like, oh, that was probably, no, I'm just probably thinking something crazy. That probably wasn't God. Like, how many times have you thought to yourself, I should really share the gospel with this person? Probably zero. It's probably the Holy Spirit every time being like, hey, you should talk to this person. Like, oh, you're right, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I should do that. Okay. So we can trust that the Holy Spirit that there's somebody on the other end. Verse number 28. That was verse 27, verse 28. This is what it says. Was returning. Oh, so I'm gonna summarize these verses because the middle part not so much needed for what we're doing. It says verse 27. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So what's the point? Philip's getting interrupted on one end, and on the other end, you have this other guy who is sitting in his chariot and he's reading the Bible. And so Philip has no clue that there's this other dude on the other end who is in a place who's ready to receive and ready to hear. He has no idea. But God called him, God interrupted him, and God said, go. So we have to be able to trust that when God leads us to step out and to talk and to share, that it's God doing it and that he's the one leading you and he's the one guiding you and that you can trust that. So a lot of times what can happen is we can view things as just like, it's like a light switch. Either it worked or it didn't. Like, that's it. There's no in-between. There's no gray. There's no middle ground. But that's not how it works, right? Sometimes you can share the gospel, and somebody might be like, oh, my gosh, you're right. This is exactly what I needed, and this is what I was looking for, and I just didn't know, and thank you so much. And they pray the prayer of salvation with you, and they're so excited, and they're on fire for God, and you walk away, and you're like, that was amazing. It was the best thing ever. God used me. And you're like, it's totally on fire. And then you go the next time, and you try to, God's like, share it with this person. So you go, you're like, hey, man, you try to share the gospel with them. You try to just talk to them a little bit, and they just shut you down. I mean, like, don't want to have anything to do with you. And you walk away like, that was a complete failure. Like, I'll never want to do that again. And you're like depressed. Like, well, I'm a failure. I'm never going to share the gospel again. Like, I just got shot down. And it's not like that in the kingdom of God. It's not like that. Because people are at different seasons, different places in their life. So it's almost like as if we could have a scale. And you could say, like, if there were a one, they're like right there on the edge, ready to hear from God. They know that something's missing. They are looking for this thing, and they're open and ready to receive. And so when you say, Jesus is here for you, Jesus loves you, he died on the cross for you, they're like, oh, that's it. And so they're ready. And then you can have somebody who's like a 10, and they're like, I don't care about God. I don't believe in God. There ain't no such thing as God. You know, religion is just a big fake thing, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. And these people are different positions. And sometimes our role might be that you go and you share the gospel and say, man, I don't believe in that stuff. And I don't, you know, that's all fake and this and that. But they walk away. They tell you to get out of there. They tell you to scram, you know, and you forget it. But they walk away and maybe they just moved up to number 9. Like, man. And just kind of made them think a little bit. Like, you know, they totally shut you down. You're the failure. But they walk away and maybe they moved up that scale just a little bit. And you played your part in that. Do you necessarily get to see the effect of it? Do you get to see all the fruit of it? Not necessarily, but your part was still vital. And so we all have different roles, and we can see this in the Bible too. What verse is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll just tell you real fast. It's basically where Paul says, look, I planted seed, Apollos watered, and God brings the increase. See, what is he saying? We all have our parts to play. I planted the seed. I shared. I've stepped out, and I said what God wanted me to say, and I shared the gospel with somebody, I wasn't the one who got to see the end of it. And then this other guy, Apollos, came along, and he kind of watered on that too a little bit more, and that person got bumped down a little bit lower. Now they're number 4. And then somebody else comes along later on down the road, and they get to share the gospel, and now that person's ready. And now they receive God, and everybody had a part to play in that. So just because you don't necessarily see the outcome of something, and just because something might seem like a failure, know and you have to trust that God knows what he's doing and that you can trust where he sends you because he knows what he's doing. And don't be discouraged. Don't be, give up on it just because you don't see what you wish would happen. You don't see it happen. Know that God is working on people. Know that God is doing things. Another thing in knowing that we can trust where God sends us. In the Bible, the Bible says that we ought to have an answer for people who want to know about what, like, man, you have something different. Like, what is that? What is the answer for that? And sometimes we can, I've done this myself personally, so I'm going to assume there's at least one other person here who's done it. I have been afraid to share because I felt like, oh, they might ask questions I don't know, or they're probably going to push me in a direction where I'm going to be like out of my depth. And I'm like, avoid that one. I don't know what's going to happen. And what happens is that can become a crutch, right? Like, because now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I would, you know, but I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't. I'm not going to do it because I need, you know, when I learn a little bit more and after I graduate Bible college, maybe, and, you know, I never finish these three books I'm trying to read about evangelism, then I can maybe talk to them. You know, like, God, that is not what God is saying. Do we need to prepare ourselves? Do we need to study? Do we need to learn what the Bible has to say? Absolutely, you do. But here's what I found. If you let that stop you, the amount of growth that you have in your ability to answer people, if you just say, well, I have to go learn first, and I have to go, you know, figure this out on my own, you're going to grow at like a snail's pace because there's no real motivation to really get you to where you need to be. But if you're willing to step out and be like, dude, I know this person's going to like hit me, and I'm going to be like, not know their answer. You know, like, well, what about this? And this says that. And you're like, you know what you can do? You can say, I don't know. You can say, I don't know. You don't have to have all the answers to be able to share the gospel. You don't have to. Because you know what you can do? And the way you can flip it to make it so that your growth to learn what the Bible says and to be able to answer people, you can say, you know what? I don't know, man. That's a good question. I really don't know. Like, but I'll find out. Like, let's catch up next week. And what do you do? Okay, now's my time. I got to go home and I got to study. Okay, what does this mean? How does that apply? Where did this come from? And now you have a motivation and a time frame that's going to help you to learn, to grow, to expand what it is that the Bible says, and to be able to have answers for people and much more efficiently, much more quickly than if you were to just be like, you know what? I got to go get this all figured out myself first. Then I can talk to these people. Don't do it. Don't let that be a crush. Don't let that hold you back from sharing the gospel with somebody. It's okay to say, I don't know. Point number four, connect at their level. Connect at their level. So I got one more video for you. Let's watch the video real fast. Turn your attention to the screens.
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, burying your cat, Mr. Bootsy. I loved Mr. Bootsy. I guess you love Mr. Bootsy too, huh? Because he's your cat. Well, was your cat. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you come to church with me? Because all cats go to heaven, and if you go to church with me, you can find out what happened to Mr. Bootsy.
I don't think that's the way it works.
Yeah, I think it is. No, that's accurate.
I don't think it is.
That's what happens.
I don't think it does.
All cats go to heaven.
It's not the way it works.
Are you calling me a liar? So do you want to go to church with me?
So number four, connect at their level. So here's this guy. He was trying to connect at his level. He's like, oh, so you got a cat. The cat died. Maybe we can work this into an invitation. You're like, it was terrible. It didn't work. Don't do it like the way he did it, right? But he was trying to connect at his level. That's the point. But it was a terrible way of doing it. Let's jump back to Philip real fast. So we're Acts chapter 8. Now we're going to look at verses number 29-31. It says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? We'll stop there for just a second. What do we see here? So we know that Philip started off in a different city doing a different thing, doing like mass evangelism. Now God's interrupted his life, sent him to a different city, and God just happens to bring him to this guy who's in the chariot reading Isaiah. God's like, hey, go over to this guy's chariot. And so when he goes over there, what does he do? He listens, right? He overheard him. So he was like, oh, this guy's reading the Bible. Okay. Like he's reading Isaiah. Oh, this is okay. This is good. Here's the connection. I can jump in right here. But like, hey man, I see you're reading Isaiah. That's cool, man. Do you understand what you're reading? And that's the next verse. Actually, Philip says like, oh, basically, hey, cool. You're reading that. So, do you understand what you're reading? And so that's what he asks the eunuch. And so that opens up this door and they start this conversation. And if you go down, you skip down a few verses and basically later on in the chapter, the guy ends up saying, you know what? Like, this is right. Like, he gets saved, he gets baptized, and his life is transformed. How did that happen? Like, how did the opportunity come for Philip to be able to connect with this guy? It came because he came and he overheard. Basically, he was willing to connect with this guy where he was at. So he didn't walk up to this guy and be like, oh, hey, man, what's up? So you're a eunuch? That sucks, bro. No, he didn't connect on that point. He didn't care like where this guy came from or what his life was about or what he was doing. He came and he connected right where the guy was at. And so a lot of times, that's the easiest way for us to be able to connect with people. Like, man, I don't know what to say. You walk up to somebody and be like, you know, oh, hey, this guy, Jamal, my friend here at work, he was watching Terminator 2, and he said that's like the best one. Anyways, I don't know. I haven't really watched him. But he's like, swore this was the most amazing movie. So if I knew, I was like, so I just started asking him questions about it. I'm like, oh, what does this mean? What was that about? You know, like, oh, and he's just like talking all about, oh, well, this was this and that. And, you know, the newest one, it's going to be this or that. But it was a little confusing, you know. And so he just like went off about it. Why? Because it was an easy connection point for him. It started the conversation. And a lot of times, that's all you really have to do to get this thing started. Yesterday, I was standing in line at a place. And don't you know, standing in line is a great place to win. What else are you going to do? You can be like other people and just be like, you're going to give yourself a neck cramp or something. Like, you might as well talk to somebody. So you're standing in line, and it's like, well, let's see. I don't know, God, what do you want me to do? And it's like, oh, here we go. Somebody's wearing Jordans. Like, hey, bro, nice shoes. and it matched their hat. I was like, you got the whole thing, you know, and it opened up the door. Conversation started right there. I didn't have to know anything about them. I didn't have to know why they were there, where they were going, or what brought them there. It was just shoes. Boom, easy connection. And that opens the door. Sometimes we can come at this thing and we can feel like, you know, like we're not prepared to walk in like, hey, what's up, man? Like, and just go straight for it. Like, just go straight for it. Hey, do you know Jesus? And you're like, yeah, like, kind of, you know. And it's, you know, it will start the conversation. I'm not saying don't ever do that. But what I am saying is that sometimes that's not the easiest introduction. And it's usually not the easiest introduction for you either. You feel a little awkward. You're like, yeah. So we can learn from Philip. We can see from his example, what did he do? He connected right where this guy was at. It doesn't have to be the Bible. Like, oh, hey, you're reading that book? That's cool. How is it, man? Like, oh, yeah, I'm reading this book. Like, oh, what? Oh, it's called the Bible. Like, have you ever read that before? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of ways and there's a lot of opportunities that we can do this an easier way, a right way, not a weird way, like the video, right? We don't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be strange. We can connect with people right where they're at. And why can we do that? Why should we do that? Because we see it in the Bible, right? We see that it's effective. We see that this guy's life gets turned around that same day, right? And it all started because he walked up, he was obedient to God. He let him disrupt him. He trusted that God was sending him somewhere on purpose for a reason. And then God set him up in a place where he said, okay, where is this guy? And he connected with him right where he was at. So tonight, what do we talk about? Know that you're sent. Know that you're commissioned. Know that you don't do it alone. Know that you have the Holy Spirit. Know that God has given you all the authority and he's backing you. You're not doing this alone. Number two, I just forgot number two. I'm going to turn my paper over. Number two, let God disrupt your routine. Know what your routine is, but let God disrupt it. Be willing to be disrupted. How are you going to be willing to be disrupted? Probably by start praying for people. It's going to help you to be more willing to step out. Because you're probably going to start to see things a little bit different. Because you're going to have a little bit more, you're going to have a different drive, a different passion. You're going to have a different investment in people than you maybe did before. Trust that God knows where he's sending you. Trust that God is sending you to the right place. You can trust his direction. And number four, connect with people where they're at. It doesn't have to be strange. It doesn't have to be weird. Just connect them with right where they're at and start that thing. And watch as you are willing to step out. Watch as you're willing to open up and invite somebody to church or talk to them about Jesus. Watch your life change. Because we don't do this just so we can change somebody else's life. But as you begin to do this, watch how your life will begin to change too. Because the values and the importance of things that you had before will begin to shift. Because you'll begin to see things in a new light, in a new value, a new importance based on what the Bible says and based on what God has for you. So if you got something from the Word of God tonight, go ahead and give Him a great big praise.